Track 8, letters to the editor, and there are only two this week, so we're splitting them between us. Choosing Other Parking Options by Brian Hall in Tynmouth. Tynmouth bucks the trend of putting traffic, pollution and money over the safety and comfort of children and visitors. Most seaside towns would welcome a safe, traffic-free environment where residents and visitors can bring their children, grandchildren and guests to stroll or ride without having to look out for and dodge traffic over the busy summer period. I understand that traders want visitors to spend their money, and parking is a key to that. But to go for the easy option does not represent me. We have had derelict land in the town centre, Brunswick Street, for years that could have provided parking. We even had a proposal to build a multi-storey car park. So why don't the councillors chase these options rather than open up the seafront car park? If you visited Tynmouth during an air show or Pride weekend, you will have experienced a relaxed, safe and comfortable walking environment. Whilst the streets are closed to traffic, the traders do not complain over these weekends.
The Upper Den parking is often frequented by camper vans, many with blue badges, that do not contribute financially with free parking, but do contribute to polluting the beach by disposing of their washing up water. What else? Down the drains. Have you tried to walk from the triangle along Wellington Street past Boots with a pushchair, wheelchair, or holding a toddler's hand? I would go further and pedestrianise Wellington Street, sending the buses down Holland Road with just the Seaview bus terminal stand for all directions. This would be safe and improve accessibility whilst also improving air quality. Councillors and traders may wish to consider taking out half or all of the den and or the tennis courts. That would certainly increase revenue and parking capacity, but may see some resistance.
Will climate chaos come to bite us, writes Jeremy Hall from Crokenwell. Climate change politics continue to attract correspondence, while some writers suggest that the topic is of minor importance or provokes too much anger and should be hidden away on a back page. These are the correspondents and politicians who believe that the whole topic is garbage or a scam. Why is it that the deniers are so angered by the topic? Is it a refusal to face the challenge to our comfortable way of life? Comfortable for some of us. We should never forget that 18% of the UK population live in absolute poverty, so EVs and heat pumps are ludicrous at present. The deniers shout that all information on climate danger is just opinion, unsupported by science. To counter this irrationality is impossible. Such writers have dropped their logic down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole and misguidedly pretend to triumph in this debate. Is it only when climate chaos comes to bite us in the UK that these pre-Galileo guys will understand? Ignore the rest of the globe and assert that those who report their experience of climate extremes are climate obsessives. A recently formed group is the Climate Justice Coalition, with hubs in over 20 UK cities. Sociologists suggest that the revolution that we need in social justice and in energy realism will come if only 3.5% of the population are sufficiently convinced that these are the twin challenges for humanity. And that concludes the letters to the editor for this week.